Today's reading is from Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Mark chapter 6, verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorrowful, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is a sad story. John the Baptist hasn't harmed anyone. He hasn't broken any laws. He has simply spoken the truth. That's what he's been doing the whole time. And so he stands up for God's law and he points out the immorality of the situation that Herod is in. Now, Herod himself seems to be a bit of a contradiction. You see that he has some regard for the fact that John the Baptist is righteous, yet at the same time, he's certainly not living any sort of a devout life at all. Verse 20 says that Herod feared John, knowing he was righteous and holy, and he kept him safe. So he prevented the plans of others from coming to fruition to kill him. The latter half of that verse says that he was greatly perplexed and yet he heard him gladly. I'm not sure why he was listening to him. Was there some amount of righteous fear that was instilled within Herod by what John the Baptist said? Was it a matter of it was just entertaining to listen to him? You know, what's the issue here that even though it says he was perplexed, he still gladly heard him? I'm not sure. I don't really have the answer for you on that. But it kind of shows that there's this conflict within Herod. And then we have a tipping point. We have a tipping point that overcomes that conflict. And then John the Baptist loses his life. That's what verse 21 is telling us. An opportunity came. Who was the opportunity for? The opportunity was for Herodias. The opportunity was for evil to be done. So Herod has this birthday banquet that he puts on for his nobles and his military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And Herodias' daughter comes in and dances. And I think we can draw some conclusions here that this is not just any dance. This was a very sensuous dance. This was a dance that inflamed the passions of those that saw her. And I think some alcohol is involved here. I think there's some drunkenness going on. And at the height of that passion and at the height of their excitement over what she has done, Herod makes this foolish promise. Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. I mean, it's silly that any king would offer half his kingdom over the pleasure that he gains from one night of immorality, no matter what the immorality ended up being, dance or otherwise. It was a foolish promise, but it was a promise he made. It was a promise that he didn't feel like he could go back on because he did it in the presence of others, these nobles, these military commanders, these leading men. So this young woman goes, asks her mother, "What shall I ask?" And the mother has the opportunity. Evil has its opportunity to be carried out. And she says, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." No regard for who John is. No regard for whether John might even be speaking the truth, but just bring me the head of John the Baptist. And she comes back to the king. It says with haste. So maybe we would say right away. I don't know if there was some concern that if he sobered up, maybe he wouldn't follow through on his promise. That's possible. So she comes back in, says, "Want the head of John the Baptist." And Herod is, I think, shocked by this request. This was not what he was expecting. Verse 26 says, "The king was exceedingly sorry." He didn't really want to do this, but he does send the executioner, and John the Baptist's head is brought back on a platter given to the girl, which then gives it to her mother. The evil has been carried out. A good man dies simply because of immorality and evil promises and evil plans, schemings, going behind the scenes, trying to manipulate things. I don't know if maybe this was designed altogether by Herodias for her to send her daughter in there in order that there might be the hopes that some kind of a promise like this would be made. The disciples hear of it. This is a terrible moment for them. They come and they take the body and they lay it in the tomb. Now we can go back to the beginning of our reading, because the beginning of our reading is after the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is hearing about the things that Jesus is doing, but he doesn't really know who Jesus is. There's this questioning, and it says that some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That's why we're hearing about these miracles. Others said Elijah. Others said that he was a prophet, like the prophets of old. But Herod heard of it and said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." So Mark gives the situation of wondering who John is, and then goes back in order to tell the story of how John dies. That's why it's a little bit out of order here. But think about what happens when you keep truth at arm's length. You keep truth pushed away so that you don't accept it. That's what Herod was doing. He was listening to the things that John said, but he wasn't accepting the truth. He was pushing that truth away. And so what does it do when you push truth away? That leaves an opening for evil to walk right in. That leaves an opening for evil to be carried out. We need to be very careful that we don't push truth away, that we accept it readily so that the gaps can be closed. When we accept the truth, we close the gaps to the falsehood and the evil that wants to come into our life and wants to take over. So accept the truth. Listen to the truth. Sometimes the truth is a hard pill to swallow, but take it anyway. Take it anyway. I think about, kids when they're younger and they get sick and the doctor gives them some medicine and they don't want to take the medicine because the medicine tastes terrible. Today a lot of medicines are flavored, so maybe this isn't as big a deal. I do remember taking some medicines that tasted pretty awful. But, I remember Mom saying something along the lines of, "I don't care, take it anyway. This is what's good for you. This is what will help you." Truth might be a bad taste in the beginning, but it has benefits. It can help us. It can help us with the sickness of sin and help protect us from the evil that wants into our lives. The truth will make us free if we open our hearts to it, if we let it in, if we live by it. We need to make sure that we're never reluctant to accept the truth. And today, we need to be praying that we not only have ourselves open to the truth, but we also speak the truth, that we have the courage to be like John the Baptist and just speak the truth no matter what the consequences might end up being. That we're willing to speak the truth that comes from the Word of God. Let's keep that in our minds today. Thank you for listening. And please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.